this is the first time I have, obviously, because I am old, but I'm not that old. I don't remember back to 1932 that I've been part of a Eucharistic Congress. It's very, very different. It really is. I had seen and watched and, you know, out of, for research purposes, looked at the footage of 1932. And I really didn't know what to expect. It is so, so different. It's a different country. It's a different planet almost from 1932. Back then, it was such a new country. It was a country of very deep religious fervour. But it was also a time of repression and controlling by the church. I like to think that this Eucharistic Congress is happening in a time of humility for the church and in a time of more openness, because we've all been through it, and we have, I think, as people who are part of the Catholic Church, we've kind of come to a place where we can say, actually, I don't want to be controlled like that. I want to be a part of this church. I do have great regard for the story of Jesus and this, the whole Christian ethos, but there are limits. There are things I'm happy with, and there are things I'm not happy with. So I don't think people should be disappointed that there aren't a million people at the Eucharistic Congress, because there were on O'Connell Street in 1932. It's a different country. It's invigorating. I mean, anybody who has been here has had a very nice day. You meet, people are very friendly, because I don't know whether they're on their best behaviour, but certainly they're of like mind. So they're here to explore, to question, and to enjoy.
The theme of the Congress, it's around the Eucharist, and the theme is communion with Christ and with one another. The Eucharist, however, doesn't include everybody, and there are some people who are excluded from the Eucharist. Some of the groups that it excludes would be people, couples who are cohabiting, people in same-sex relationships, people who are divorced. How do you feel about that? I mean, how can a Eucharist say it's in communion with everybody when, in fact, it actually isn't?
Well, communion with God and communion with one another is, I suppose, the theme of the Congress. It's aspirational. We all have to have aspirations. I can't fully remember the quote, but I know it goes along the lines of, it's good to have dreams, wise men set life's course by dreams. And that's good. But life doesn't always go according to plan. And I have to say that I would be one of the people who'd be, if you like, excluded in theory from the Eucharist, because I am divorced, I got married, I have four children, I had nothing other than wanting to be married for the rest of my life in my head when I got married. It didn't happen. These things don't always go according to the way we envisage them. And I think that's part of our humanity. I think it's part of the human condition. I believe that if Christ were here nowadays, he would not exclude same-sex couples, cohabiting couples, divorced people from the Eucharist. And I am glad to say that the places where I go to Mass and the people I attend Mass with are not exclusive. I receive communion. I'm breaking the rules, maybe, but that's the way it is. And I think that the example that Jesus gave by the company he kept when he was walking the land is indicative of that. And I really think that that is the way the church has to renegotiate the way forward, you know, in a humane and a compassionate and with a sense of reality.
Or are they going in the opposite direction and the people on the ground just aren't paying much attention?
Well, yes, and you will find members of the clergy and the religious who are very frustrated by that, because they would like to be the church to be, I suppose, more inclusive and more accepting of people in their frailty. But there's a hierarchy, a hierarchy that is making the rules and continuing, I suppose, with a status quo that really is a little bit out of touch with the way people live their lives in this time.
That was, I was going to lead on to that in terms of the Congress is going to attract people who are attracted by that. So in a way, is it preaching to the converted, or is it going to help in reaching out to people who felt that they have been hurt by the church or excluded by the church?
Hopefully. It's too early to say, I think, whether it's going to be preaching to the converted. You've got to wait and leave a little bit of time and a little bit of distance so that you can look back and say, okay, well, that didn't work because all they did was preach to the converted and nothing changed. Or you say, okay, well, people seem to have, you know, refocused and decided, yes, I will be a little bit more observant. I think there was something very significant on Sunday at the opening ceremony and the gathering when the healing stone was a part of the ceremony. And that was so significant when Archbishop Dermot Martin, who is a very humble and a very compassionate and a very, I suppose, sad man because of what happened within the church with regard to clerical abuse. And he blessed the healing stone, and there's an inscription on it. It's a prayer that was written by a survivor of abuse. And it's a very, it's actually even a compassionate reference to what happened to the survivors. And then when he had finished that and was moving away, he just laid his hand on the stone. And there was just a huge amount, I think, of emotion and, you know, wanting to help, I felt, watching Archbishop Martin do that. I think that is a nice gesture, a significant gesture, but I do feel that it remains to be seen whether it will make a difference.
And finally, you've had a long media career and you've worked a long time with RTE. And of late, there have been some voices saying that there was groupthink in RTE or that there is a certain anti-church bias. From your experience of working with RTE, do you think that holds true in any way?
No. Absolutely not. I mean, I have been working, as you say, for a long, long, for though I started in RTE. And from the very beginning, I have been involved in religious programming, and all the stops are pulled out. There's a very, very positive and professional attitude, as far as I'm concerned. Things went wrong recently, and it was unfortunate, but I do not think that the general consensus within RTE is a kind of a negative vibe towards the church. You've no idea the amount of energy that is being put in by RTE to this Eucharistic Congress. I was at a meeting yesterday for the organisation of the Statio Orbis, which will happen on Sunday in Croke Park. And first of all, the room was full. Everybody wanted to be a part of it, because we want this to be good. We want it to look good. We wanted the opening ceremony to look good. We fashioned the shots in such a way that the arena looked vibrant and and it gave a true reflection of the energy and the positivity that was present in the arena. So no, I don't agree with that.